This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Catherine Larson traveled throughout the world as an opera singer.
And that's what brought me to that point where I was with Cleto. I was a miserable person, miserable. So it's, I think that, yeah, if you're given everything, you find the emptiness in that. And I think that's a gift, because otherwise you're always seeking that. You're always looking, okay, maybe if I had this much money, I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. Well, I got that much money, and mm-hmm. I wasn't happy. I was miserable with everything that the world has to offer, because there's always a God-shaped hole in your heart.
When you accepted the Lord, you had a newfound joy within your bosom. What did that feel like? What did you think of this Jesus being real suddenly?
Well, first of all, it takes all the pressure off, because he's in control.
Yeah.
And you for a while you struggle, you think, okay, well, you can be a co-pilot and I'll still have my hands on the steering wheel. But after a while you realize,
Jesus, take the wheel.
You're like in one of those toy cars where your steering wheel doesn't work and he's really the one that's in charge. So you eventually just give it over. And because seriously, I couldn't have planned this life. He went way beyond my expectations of what my life could be. You know, an ad agency, I thought, I'll make $30,000 a year. No, $500,000 or $250,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and look, I thought, I'll sing in a church choir, right? No, he made me an opera singer in front of 5,000 people in the major orchestras. For heaven's sakes, how could I have planned that? And then it would be all egoic, you know, so... There's
egoic.
Joy.
Is that a word, egoic?
I just made it up.
I like that. No, egoic. That's very good. I like that.
But and also, whenever I would go out to perform, or even before I paint, every single time before I paint, I pray for a good painting. But I pray for something that people will love to see, that will bring them joy. Because it's not me. It's his gifts. He's given me these gifts. And it's my responsibility to use them well in service. But if you become so wrapped up in, you know, Catherine did this or Catherine did that, even when going out on stage, if I think I'm the one that's going to be out there singing, it's terrifying to know that I'm not alone, to know that the Holy Spirit is there and I'm doing something he wants me to do, because otherwise I wouldn't be in that position. I would always say before I go out and sing, I would say, you put me here, you're going to have to get me through it because I'm scared. And he never let me down.
I don't want to push Bible roulette, but as I told a story earlier today to you, I said how I was traveling around the world with a broken heart and going from one town to the next. And a pastor friend from Syracuse, New York, said, the Lord told me, you've got to stop running and he'll bless you financially. Well, I ended up with a Bible on the living room floor, and I opened up the Bible, said, Lord, what do you think of this? I opened it, and he said, if you leave this land, this was Vero Beach, Florida, 30 years ago. If you leave this land, I, the Lord, shall curse thee, and thou shalt surely die. But if you remain in this land, you shall live, and I, the Lord, shall bless you. All I will say is this. I don't promise success financially to everybody. But I will say, for me, I couldn't even afford $500 a month rent. Since then, the Lord opened up the doors for a radio show. I'm in my almost 30 years on the air, ended up with a home on the water. Like you, I had the antique car, the prestige vehicles, I mean, a boat, the whole shebang, because I obeyed the Lord, stayed here and declared his name over the airwaves, and people are hungry for love. The only heat I've ever taken, and mostly from the wealthy homes on the Barrier Island, please stop the Jesus stuff. Because, you know, Jesus said the world hates me because I show them that their deeds are evil. People don't want something that accentuates the fact that they know what they're doing is not right. I don't have to answer to a God, you know?
Yeah.
But here, now I want to hear your story. Tell the story how you, at this one time, and like I said, I don't know if the preachers out there will be mad at us for saying this, but if there comes a time where you, you know, pray to God and say, look, come now or don't ever come again. or I need you now. It's not a threat to God, but it's a private time between the two of you. As Billy Graham said, God didn't come to establish a religion. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to establish relationships. So it's everybody's an individual. You are totally loved by God, whoever you are, individually, and you're different, just like every snowflake is different, just like every thumbprint is different. So anyway, you end up, what was the situation where you played Bible roulette? Remember you told me the story in there? Will you open the Bible?
Oh, that's Bible roulette. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for those who don't understand that, God speaks through His Word. His Word is the living Word, and the Word is Christ. It says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then later on it says that He came to us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we know that is Christ. So when at least for me, and I know a lot of other people that do this as well, when you really need an answer from Him, you can pray and say, I'm going to use the Word and speak to me through Your Word. And I've done it many times, but before I moved down here, I was having difficulty getting the house closed and everything, and I was wondering, is this the right path? Am I really supposed to pick up and move everything to Vero Beach? And I prayed to Him. I said, I'm going to use the Word. So what you do then is you just open the Bible with my hand, my eyes closed, and then I point to a verse and read it. And in this case, it said,
listen to this. This is an amazing story.
It says, those in Samaria will be saved. And I said, what does that mean? I'm not moving to Samaria. I have no idea what that means. And I was almost going to do it again because I thought, God's made a mistake here. I pointed to the wrong verse, and I read the verse above and below, and no, it was nothing there. So you know how God talks. He speaks in a quiet voice in your head, and He says, research it. Research Samaria. So I got on the computer, and I looked up Samaria and said, yeah, it's over there next to Jerusalem. And I was like, well, that doesn't help me any. But then in Wikipedia, it says the English word for Samaria is Sebastian.
Oh, my, and that's where you were considering buying.
Well, yeah. Well, Sebastian, I actually live closer to Sebastian than I do Vero Beach, even though I have a Vero Beach
technically,
address.
Technically, yeah. But it's Spiro Lake Estates,
so,
which is Sebastian.
I mean, what are the chances that I would pick a verse like that? There's a point where it's no longer coincidence. There's no possibility of it being coincidence. And this is when you have a relationship, you understand that. You understand that people are brought into your life when they're supposed to be brought in. Like I met Rhett almost 2 years ago, but this was the time that we needed to speak. There would not have been.
And perfect timing, because I didn't have this show on CNO back then.
Yeah, so this is what God does. And when you start understanding that, then you don't stress so much about the things that are happening in your life. Even if they appear bad, God has a purpose for them. You look at what happened to Joseph and how he was taken away and put in prison. He says, well, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good so that I could provide for you.
Now, in case you don't know what that story is, it's a type of Jesus. It's a foreshadowing. Joseph was a favored son of his father's name. Was it Benjamin? I forget his father's name. But it doesn't really matter. But anyway, he was favored,
Israel.
And his father gave him the coat of many colors.
His brother sold him
into slavery, yeah. And put some blood on some
his clothes,
on his clothing, so to show the father. So the father thought his beautiful son was dead. Anyway, so years later, he ends up in prison and ends up getting out of prison because he has visions.
He interprets
interprets a dream for the emperor.
For the pharaoh, yeah.
Pharaoh, and ends up becoming second in command.
Right, and saves all of Egypt out of famine.
Well, he has a dream.
Brothers.
He says there's going to be three and a half years of famine and three and a half years of abundance. That means go and tell the pharaoh now and collect all the wheat you can to prepare for the famine that's coming.
Yep.
And does that. Well, next thing you know is, up comes his family, his brothers.
His 11 brothers,
And they find out that it's him. They go, oh, no, you're going to kill us. He goes, no, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. I'm going to take care of you.
Because through that, if he hadn't been in that position, that was all of Israel. Israel were those 12 brothers, the 12 of them. That's where the whole
what a
family
coincidence.
Of Israel comes out of.
What a coincidence that there were 12 brothers, 12 disciples.
Yeah.
Hmm. His timing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Have you ever noticed mathematically his timing is immaculate? We figure out how can you have free will? and yet also have a God who can control everything. Because he's so magnanimous, he's so great, he's so eternal that literally we can have free will and yet he can work within that. Maybe he can go back and forward in time. I don't know. But it's amazing. Just like, and I have a friend of mine, her name is Beth. I've got to introduce you to Beth sometime. And she just studied and got her, I don't know, degree of, I don't know, of a counselor or something. But she was smoking her a big bong of hashish or marijuana. And I don't know what happened one night. Her boyfriend's asleep in the bed. And something happens where she says, you know, if there's really a God, show me now that you're real because I will never say this prayer again. And whoosh. The joy and the peace of the Lord, and she falls asleep. She gets up the next day. She continues to smoke marijuana. She says to her live-in boyfriend, do we have a Bible? I want to read the Bible. He goes out and buys her a Bible. 2 weeks later, she says, you're going to have to move out because I'm never going to marry you. And she gets born again. It happens slowly. Yeah. She brought into the fold of the Lord and lives a joyous life.
And that's one thing that you know when you have the Holy Spirit, because then you can understand the Bible for the first time, because it's through the Holy Spirit that His Word comes to life.
I used to try to read the Bible, and then you get born again, and you go, oh, so this is how this fits together.
And verses that were never there, you swear they were never there, suddenly they're there. Like there's one verse I remember when I read it, I couldn't believe it. He says, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus says, so that they might not understand. And I went, there was no not in there before. What are you talking about? Why would you not want them to understand?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Trusting you will catch me with my hand.